Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. Today, my co-host is Micah Branson. Micah, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks, Grayson.
Micah, would you like to introduce our guest today?
It would be my great joy. So I get to introduce Matthew Wilkins, whom I got to know through the outdoor world a few years ago. And have enjoyed following his story, and I think it's made my faith deeper to watch him walk through it. So welcome, Matthew.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
It's good to have you, Matthew. Thanks for coming. Matthew's here to share his testimony with us today. Matthew, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Yeah, so I'm from Broadway, Timberville area, and I grew up outside hunting, fishing, and going to church, and faith has always been an important thing in our household, and I've had very strong Christian leadership throughout my entire life, which has been a huge blessing. And grew up playing sports and being active, always doing stuff outside and with my brother, trying to be outside anytime I could.
So you said that faith has always been a huge part of your life. What are some of your earliest memories that stick out to you as far as that's like going to church, youth camp, whatever that looked like?
Going to church always since I was little. And I've always made a lot of my friends have been made through church. And lots of great memories going to. I used to go to Brethren Woods almost every year. And so that was something that I always look forward to, going to do that with my friends. And not only being able to grow closer to them, but growing closer to God within our faith together was always fun.
So what are the places that you walked growing up in the outdoors? Like, where did you go, and what kind of things did you interact with in God's creation?
So, yeah, ever since I was born, we've had a piece of land in West Virginia that we've always deer hunted on, and it's always just been so beautiful back there to me, and being able to go back there has always just been such a blessing to see all the animals that God's created, and with all the mountains, and in the fall when the leaves change and all that, it's always just so fun to go back there and just be in his presence. It's always just so refreshing to go back there.
I share that background and family being connected and all the stories and the things that point at God in the outdoors. So what are the people that walked with you as you were growing up that you can remember that helped shepherd your faith and bring you closer to God?
Oh, definitely my parents. My parents are both very strong in their faith, and anytime that you need anything or have questions about anything, they've always been there for me to answer questions and help me, whether it be through scripture or prayer or whatever that they could help me with, to just knowing that they are always there. My grandparents, pastors, and godly friends, and anybody that I know that is there for me, that will pray with me or read scripture with me, is I've been blessed with a lot of great godly people in my life, for sure.
So you talked about seasons and appreciating how God brings them to you. Tell us about kind of the seasons of your life, and the most recent season we'll get to here in a moment.
Where should I start?
Growing up, the things that you were doing, were able to do, and then how that season changed and some news you got. And
So I've always been a baseball player. I've played baseball ever since I was old enough, really, 4 or 5 years old. Played.
I've seen your name and your dad's name on a banner in the strike zone since I coach in that same community. But that was fun.
Oh, yeah. Those were fun times. Baseball was always a big part of my life. I played it every year up until I graduated high school. And I started, when I was little, and started doing that. And I've always hunted and fished and stuff like that. And as I got into middle school and high school, it became more of something that I really enjoyed, and did it also more just to have something to do with my friends. And because it wasn't necessarily something that I wanted to, like, I wasn't trying to go to the MLB or anything like that. I just enjoyed being out there with my buddies. And so junior year, I just noticed that my leg would start bothering me every once in a while. And it would hurt for a couple of days and go away. And I didn't really know what was causing it. And it kept getting, it didn't really get any worse, but it would hurt. It'd hurt for like a week and then it'd go away. And it'd get to the point where, like, some mornings I could wake up and it was like hard for me to get up and go over to turn the light on out of bed. And I really knew that something wasn't right. And so we'd go to the doctor and they said that it could be shin splints or growing pains or something that just temporary that would eventually go away. But it was going on 2 years that it had been bothering me. And we went to another doctor and got another opinion. And she was like, I don't really know exactly what's going on, but I think you should probably get an x-ray about it. And so we went and got an x-ray. And actually, the lady that did my x-ray is my godmother. And so she got our x-ray. And we met with the whoever is in there that goes over the x-ray with you. And he didn't really seem like he knew exactly what it was, but he could tell that there was something with my bone that wasn't very dense in a spot. But he really didn't seem like it was that big of a deal. And then my godmother came out, and I could just tell that she was very upset, and she'd been doing this for a long time. And she pretty much told us that we needed to get an MRI as soon as possible. And she was able to get us in to get an MRI later that day. And then from the MRI, they could see that something, I mean, there was definitely something in there in my left leg, and they didn't really know what it was. Thought it could be an infection, weren't really sure. And then that led to ended up getting a biopsy, and they tested it, and we were just praying, not really knowing what was going to end up happening. And a couple of days after testing, they brought back and they figured out that it was Ewing sarcoma, which is a bone cancer, and that then we started meeting with doctors at UVA and going over treatment plans and stuff like that and what that would look like. And that was the end of baseball. So not news that we wanted to hear, but then we just had to start praying about asking God to lead us through it and asking him to help us get through it.
I know you had played on a team called the Blue Ridge Jays, I believe, which is a homeschool team locally. Yeah. That I would say is probably known for its great faith and leadership, and prayer is a part of every practice and game.
Yeah.
That's what I understand. So can you describe the support you might have received from that community?
Oh, yeah. All those guys are great, especially, I mean, the coaches are great. They're all very strong Christian men. And I remember when it first started happening, when I first started going through treatment and everything, they were all reaching out, asking me how I was doing, sending me cards and stuff like that. And all those guys, I still talk to a lot of them now, and they're very, very supportive friends. And I know that they pray for me all the time. And knowing that, especially when you're in the hospital, just knowing that people are praying for you and people sending you cards and stuff like that, it means a lot. And it was awesome being a part of that and having those guys in my corner.
And you were how old when you got that?
17.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Can imagine that. Yeah. So you get this diagnosis, baseball's over. I mean, you've talked about your strong faith, but even people that have a strong faith, you know, and at your age getting this kind of news,
yeah,
like, you know, what were some of the things that your family, you know, you talked about your family, but just anything, just what was this like?
Yeah, it was definitely not something that I was expecting to happen. And when it happened, you hear about people getting cancer all the time and you don't really know what it's like. And it's weird. I didn't really freak out or anything. It was weird. I just had a feeling that I knew that it was all going to work out. And it really was a curveball, and I didn't see it coming, and I didn't really know what to expect. But I just relied on God to bring me through it. And it was good having, again, family support and friend support, being there all the time.
Yeah. Well, hearing you talk, I think about, sounds like God gave you peace that passes understanding.
Yeah.
'Cause it, and it's okay. You know, I want people to hear this. It's okay. Even when you're going through something hard, you can have faith and still have questions.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You can still ask God why. You know, he's a big God. He can take those questions.
Oh, yeah.
So did you have any?
Oh, yeah. There was definitely times. I remember the very first time I ever stayed in the hospital was my first 3-night treatment. And the second night, it was just one of those nights that people were in there constantly in and out, turning the lights on and off. You couldn't get any sleep. And I just broke down and I started bawling. And I was just, my mom was there. And I was just like, why does God feel like this is what I need to go through right now? And I remember she prayed with me. And she was like, we don't always know what he has, what his plan is. And it's just important that we trust it and rely on him to bring us through it. And I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but just having somebody there all the time to support me was great. And even at home, like I remember right after surgery, when I first got home the day after surgery, like, I mean, I obviously couldn't walk or anything, and I was on a walker, and my whole body was weak because I wasn't doing anything. And I was just miserable and not understanding, like, why would God have done this to me, or why would he have had me go through this? And it was hard not being able to do anything and just really wondering why, but then trying to stay in the word and continue praying and for clarity. And it wasn't easy, but it was definitely a challenge, but definitely grateful for all the people that were there and were able to support me.
It reminds me of the verse when Jesus is speaking and says, my peace I give to you,
yeah,
and not peace as the world gives it.
Yeah,
you know, that peace that only he can give, and yeah. he equips us for what we're called to, and it may not be easy.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't think that the things that we're doing for fun are equipping us for the future. But there is, because I walk in that baseball, softball community, and the passion that I have for it stems out of how it teaches us to deal with adversity, with failure, with hard things, because it is a game that inherently has a good bit of failure.
Yeah.
And I see that lived out. I bet you never thought that resiliency you were building over the years was going to lead you to a hospital bed.
Yeah.
With God's peace with you, because your identity lied in him, and you knew it was a part of his plan, even though it was hard.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And we won't always understand why. You know, maybe many years later you'll understand. Maybe God will give you an opportunity to minister to somebody that's going through something similar. We never know.
Yeah.
In that season, it's, but we just have to, you know, the other thing that I heard when you were talking was surrender. Sounded like even though you didn't understand and you were asking why, that you were surrendered to whatever God had for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I knew that there was nothing that I could do to change it. And no matter how much I asked why or complained about it, that it wasn't going to change anything. And so that I just needed to do whatever the doctors needed me to do and stay there and take treatment. Because, I mean, the treatment is obviously supposed to help you, but it also, I mean, it's supposed to kill whatever is in there. So it's super hard on your body, and just trying to trust their process, but also knowing that God has a plan, and just trying to stay calm and understand that everything that is there is supposed to help you, and just try to let it run its course and get through it as best as you can.
So I'm a mom too, and every time I hear any piece of your story, I sit and think, you know, how you feel as a parent to watch your child walk through that. And you said your parents and your family surrounded you. How did the community respond in prayer as a tool?
Yeah. So I got a lot of, especially like the Broadway High School baseball team, they all sent me a card because I played baseball with a lot of them. And they sent me a card. They all signed it, and some of them wrote messages and stuff in it. And that was really awesome. But then also people like on Facebook and stuff reaching out to us, and so many people that even I didn't know, but my parents knew, or knew people in our church and stuff, so many people reaching out and just wondering how they could help in any way. And it was just, it was truly powerful to see all the people that I didn't even know, or that I didn't even know how my parents knew them, reaching out and knowing that they were praying for me and sending us cards and all that stuff. Was, it's really, living in a small town like that where everybody knows everybody pretty much, it's so awesome to see all the support that you get whenever you're going through something like that.
I feel like sometimes people on the other side of that, and myself included, feel like I can't do anything but pray right now. But you get to be a part of this wave that you just described of overwhelming love. So always send the card, you know, always say the prayer.
Yeah. And, you know, we say prayer is all we can do, but that should be the first thing.
Right,
that we should do, because I've heard something my grandmother said one time, prayer is telling God what he can do, not what man can do.
Yeah.
He's the great physician, is one of the names of God, as the great physician.
I was challenged recently to pray as if it was already done.
Yeah.
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 You know, pray your prayers as if God has already handled this, because in essence, he has.
Yeah.
We just forget that part.
And the Bible says that hope is being assured of, you know, what we hope for, and certain of what we cannot see.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost as if it's already happened. You said that, right, Micah?
Yes.
Well, Matthew, what would you like to share about this journey, these treatments? Yeah, whatever you would like to share. How you, maybe you grew deeper in your faith during this time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so treatment started in November, which was right in hunting season. And so I got my, it was cool. You had to get a port, which is where they pump in the chemo and stuff. And they were telling me that they was going to be put on my right shoulder. Well, rifle season was getting ready to come up, and I told them that that wasn't going to work. So I was able to convince the doctor that I wanted on the other side. And so they were able to put my port in on the left side. So I was still able to hunt that year, which was pretty cool. But we did that, and then treatment started. And I had 4 rounds of chemo before surgery, so I stayed. I had 2 different cycles. My first cycle was 3 nights, and I got 3 different types of chemos. And then I'd go home, stay home for about a week, or until my blood counts came back up enough that I could take more chemo. And then I'd stay for 7 nights. And so I had 3 nights, 7 nights, then 3 nights, 7 nights again before surgery. Then I had a 14-and-a-half-hour surgery where they took 5 inches out of my big leg bone in my left leg and put in a cadaver bone with, they also took 5 inches of the fibula out of my right leg and put in with it. And because apparently with it being your own bone and your own flesh, it helps the blood vessels and everything to grow together better and all that. It's supposed to help the healing process go faster. And so I had surgery and came home, and I was off of chemo for about a month or so, enough to let all my hair start growing back before they had to make it all fall out again. And then I had 10 more rounds of treatment after that. And stuff in the hospital was, I mean, obviously being in the hospital is never fun, but I tried to take stuff with me that I could, at least stuff to make the time go by. So I took the Xbox every time I went, because that always gives me something to do. So I spent a lot of time doing that. But then also reading my Bible, and whenever people were there, I had somebody with me there 24/7. They had to get my food and stuff like that. But then also playing board games and stuff like that, trying to keep my mind off of everything that was going on, and just try to make the time go by as quick as we could. But it definitely wasn't what I wanted to spend my 18th birthday doing, or the summers after high school. But I know that God has a plan, and I know that he definitely made me stronger through that, and that he definitely made my faith deeper through that, and I'll always be grateful for that. And just glad now that through stuff like this that I can share with people just how powerful God is, and how he can really help you be stronger with you knowing that he's on your side through everything that you go through in life, is just really really something that I'm blessed to be able to share with people and help anybody that I can that might be dealing with something similar.
I was thinking about the verse that, you know, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed,
yeah,
ask that mountain to move from here to over there, and you ask them to move a port from your right to your left arm, and it was done because
Yeah, and at first I didn't even know that that would be something that they would be able to do, because I'm sure with where your blood flows through and everything like that, I'm sure it's got to be in specific places, but I was definitely glad that they were able to move it to the other side.
Yeah. And so you're cancer-free now. Talk about when that happened. And
yeah, so after I finished chemo in August, and I got, so I was, after doing so many chemos, my blood levels were really low, and I had no energy. And so I stayed at home the next couple months, really just resting up and getting my strength back and energy back and stuff like that. And I'd gotten cleared to start putting weight on my leg in November. So I started doing that and trying to get back into walking. And so I had scans in November after all the chemo and everything was done. And so I went in there and I had a CT scan of my chest and my lungs and all the stuff in there, and then of my leg. And they all came back clean, thank God. And so I was able to just really put that behind me and hope that I don't have to deal with that ever again. And I was able to start putting weight on it in late August. And I started doing that. And then I was on a walker until Labor Day. We went to the lake over Labor Day, and I started on a cane. And then I was able to pretty much walk on my own by hunting season, which was my goal, and was able to walk at least to the stand. And then slowly was able to do more, started doing physical therapy, which was also a very big help. It really sped up the process of getting all my strength back and stuff like that. And I just quit physical therapy in the end of March, so they pretty much told me that there wasn't really any more else that they could help me do. So now I'm just continuing to build strength. And yeah,
what are the hidden gifts that you didn't see coming that now you're like, I so appreciate this?
Yeah,
in the aftermath.
Yeah, definitely just being able to, I mean, I see a lot like my grandparents and everything. I see them fairly often, but being able to be with them more often and being able to just grow closer with my family was really one of the biggest things. But also people that like came in to see me in the hospital that I hadn't seen for a long time. It was nice just being able to see those people again and really bond with them in a difficult time. It was nice.
We were put here to be in community,
yeah,
and the power of that presence surrounding you is just beautiful throughout your story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to take anything for granted, you know, it says none of us are promised tomorrow, and it doesn't matter what age we are, none of us are promised tomorrow.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that was something that I definitely thought about, was I went from being 17 and doing stuff all the time, being active, to not being at home on the couch, not being able to do anything. And I just really thought that you really never know what lies ahead, and it's important to be grateful for everything every single day. Just being able to get up and walk and be able to go out and drive places and do things is really, really a blessing that I think a lot of people take for granted every day. Being able to get out and do things is something that to some people is something that they'll never be able to do. And I think it's important to always just be grateful for all the things that God has given us and the ability to do things that we're able to do.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and what the, you graduated high school, you're working.
Yeah.
And you still occasionally have to go for some scans.
Yeah.
But yeah, just so whatever.
I started in high school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do as far as a job, so I started looking at MTC and stuff that I could take there, and I was just looking through what all they offered, and I saw that electrical was one of the things that they offered there, and I thought that that might be something fun that I could get into. And at the time, I was going to Cornerstone Christian School, and I wasn't really sure what exactly the best steps would be to do that, and there was a guy there that I went to school with, his kids there, and he owned an electrical business, and I said, hey, I know I've been thinking about maybe going into electrical, and I was thinking about going to MTC. Would that be a good place to start? And he said, well, you could, but he said, if you'd like to, you could just come work for me part-time and see if you like it, and if so, you could take classes for it and stuff like that. So I started working with him, and I worked part-time while I was homeschooled. And then once I graduated, I started working full-time right after I graduated in June. And then I got diagnosed in October, so that put that on hold. But then I started working again full-time in January, and so I've been working full-time for him since January. And I have to get scans every 6 months for the first 3 years, and then they continue. They get longer in between scans after that. And so hopefully they stay clear and I'm able to keep working and keep doing fun things. I still can't run yet, but I'm getting closer. So I'm still able to at least shoot basketball and stuff like that.
I think about these many small miracles in your story. Mm-hmm. The miracle of playing a board game.
Yeah.
The miracle of pause that you didn't ask for, but it was there. The miracle of you getting that education and then, you know, having to put it on hold.
Yeah.
And being able to even finish it, right?
Yeah.
The miracle of you walking through the door today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And up these stairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's just hope in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all the time when I'm like just, yeah, walking upstairs or like walking in the woods and stuff, that I remember like a year ago that there would have been no way I could have done that or even thought about doing that. And it's amazing just to see all the crazy amount of stuff that they put in my body and just the way that it really obviously helped me, but also, I mean, it destroyed a lot of stuff in there. And so it's amazing to see how in 1 year the amount of work that God was able to do to make me go from hardly not being able to stand to be able to walk as much as I want to, go up anything I want to. It's really just, it's awesome.
Well, Matthew, it's been great to have you today. What else would you like to share about your testimony that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
I don't know.
And we call this program Hope Talks, and you've probably already shared it already, but, you know, and all that you've gone through and all that you're able to do now, what is bringing you hope in your life right now?
Just knowing that if God can bring me through something like this, that no matter what I face in my life, that knowing that God is always there is just something that I can lean on all the time. And that just gives me hope, knowing that no matter what challenges might come later in life, that I can get through it if I lean on God and lean on my family. And that really just makes me confident that as long as I stay deep in my faith and continue to rely on him and put him first, that there's nothing that I won't be able to get through.
That's good.
He's the God of the harvest, you know, and hunters understand that.
Yeah.
And there's a great harvest of hope always for those that would believe in him.
Micah, would you mind closing our program praying for Matthew?
Absolutely. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to come around the table. We're saved by the power of your blood and the power of our testimony, Lord. You are the author of the testimony, and we get to just be a small part in living it out. We thank you for Matthew's courage despite his youth, right? Don't let them look down on you because you are young, as in Timothy, but be of good courage. And we thank you for his courage to walk through this, but also to share it, that we might share the hope of our identity in you, Lord. It's not in the things that you've given us to do here, but it is in you and doing your will. Yeah. We thank you for Matthew's trust in you and his obedience and his family surrounding him with a foundation of faith and a circle of prayer, Lord. We thank you for our community here locally that lifts us up and helps us through hard times, Lord. And we ask that you will bless the steps that we take as we journey forward and share this hope. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Matthew, thank you for joining us today. It's been great to hear your testimony. I know it's brought hope to my life.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
And Micah, thank you for being my co-host today. It's been great to have you also.
Sure. Always enjoy.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Matthew Wilkins' testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.